You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Tuesday morning, live from, well, I'm doing this obviously live, but you won't listen to it live. You'll listen to it about 90 minutes after I do it, so not so much live. Broadcasting live from Las Vegas, yeah, the home of the Oakland Raiders, the Las Vegas Raiders, I guess they are now. Yeah, how about that? And if you see their stadium that's being constructed, it looks straight up like the Death Star. Yeah, not even joking about it. It looks something befitting of the Raiders. Yeah, black, glass, ominous from the outside. So, yeah. And let me tell you what, man. It was freezing here yesterday. It was like 47 degrees with winds gusting to like 45 miles an hour. At least I think it was. I'm like, what happened? I mean, what Sunday in Southern California? It was in the 70s. And then the cold weather showed up. Like, what the hell? And I mean, put on your good coat cold. Yeah, not your bullshit coat, like your real coat. And so, anyway, yeah, the weather here, a little bit of a story. And the other thing I have to say is, you know, you watch all the movies about Las Vegas, and I have to tell you, it's pretty sobering when you show up. Like, where's all the beautiful people, man? Where's all the beautiful people that I see on the TV shows and in the movies? Because let me tell you, right? The cross-section of America that's here, oh my God, are you kidding me? Right? And look, I would never claim to be anybody's fashion plate, okay? But come on, it's not that hard to get your clothes to match, okay? Basic rules, man. Stripes on stripes, no bueno, man. Prints on stripes, no bueno, man. And I'm talking to you guys out there. Women tend to have a clue. You got to be kidding me, man. Were you drunk, man? Well, you know what? That might explain it. They were drunk or they had gambling fever, had to get down to the casino, right? Because, I mean, come on. You can't win if you don't play. Exactly. Exactamundo. So, yeah. So just always walking through the lobby and checking things out. You know, going to dinner last night here in the hotel. You're like, oh, come on, man. Really? Then you just shake your head. So, anyway, absolutely awesome day yesterday. Spent the whole day with the Clark County Fire Department. And doing post-traumatic winning nonstop from 8:30 in the morning to 5:30 in the afternoon. I shouldn't say nonstop. I had like 10-minute breaks before doing it between each one. Yeah, that's no bullshit either. So hopefully I get maybe a few more minutes between them today. Pretty interesting. Because like everybody else, I mean, most of this stuff that firefighters see and the emergency personnel that are, you know, that come with them, is the same as the shit that Marine sees. It doesn't resonate. It doesn't connect. And so, you know, they come in and they've heard good things about this. I will say that. They all say that. No, we heard good things about that. Last night, I don't feel comfortable sharing them today because normally I would, but I don't. The text messages that were forwarded to me that the training people were receiving, I can't tell you how humbling it is. And it's the, I hope, it's the, and I banged on this all day. You have an opportunity in front of you to write some history, to be the first in the country that embraces, right, the truth about what it is to live with trauma, right? To give meaning, right? To give meaning to your suffering, that which you do every week. To give meaning to that by changing each other's lives, by helping each other, by doing exactly what happened in the Hanoi Hilton. But you have the additional incredible opportunity as members of your community, as exalted members of your community, to touch people's lives on a daily basis, because you come in contact with so many people who are hurt. And I said, I told him, I'm envious of you, because the whole secret to this is overwhelming your trauma with joy. And you have a huge upside relative to the difference that you can make. And when you make that, you'll have the Grinch moment. And when you have the Grinch moment, that is the secret to living a great life. And if you can string together a shit ton of Grinch moments, and guess what? You're going to live a pretty good life. So, it's interesting. And I try to find ways to articulate this, but now as it comes, as I look at it as as pathways, right, there's essentially two paths. The first path is, you know, don't let the monkeys out of the cage. And I'm trying to figure it out. But I'm boxing that stuff up. I'm putting it in the closet. I'm throwing it down in the basement. And so that's the, and then I might be trying to figure it out. And then sometimes I just, you know, at times I'm going to say, you know what, I can't. So I'm just going to wall it off. And so that's how you begin to go down that path of walling it off. And then there's a branch of that path. There's a path that leads off that path, and that is for people that use alcohol and drugs. And that path's pretty well walked path. Both of them are, right? The one where, you know, you live your life, but you deal with your trauma in silence. You fake it, right? You don't share it with anybody else, and it's your own personal burden that you lock up, and you deal with it, you know, as you fake it, you know, in this isolated place. And there's a lot of people that do that. And then the branch that comes off that path is the branch that includes alcohol and drugs. And again, they're not narrow paths either. They're wide paths. A lot of people walk them. And so, I try to articulate it in that way. And then post-traumatic winning, it starts with, will you confront the truth about what it is to live with trauma? Because if you will confront the truth, then you will see another path that leads in down a completely separate trail, right? Down a completely separate trail, and it leads you to a different place. It leads you to a different place. I would say, right, the other path, plural paths, they will lead you to live a diminished version of the life that you could have lived had these things not happened. And I think that's accurate. It might be marginally, you know, if you're good at faking it, if you're good at walling off, it might be marginally worse, but right, you'll have those burdens. And the second path, the path that starts at the waters of truth, at the river of truth, that path that takes you to a place, you know, that where you live a life that's beyond what you know. So, you know, again, it's interesting to now doing it with first responders, you know. And again, they have these experiences as part of their job on a weekly basis. And they going through the same frustrations as I think Marines do, is that, you know, the people that come talk to us, they don't speak to us. They're not from our tribe. They don't speak like this to us. And so the word raw gets used relative to post-traumatic winning, and in your face gets used. And I don't, it's not to me, well, I guess it is relative to other presentation. It is kind of in your face. Like, I'm going to tell you the truth, and if you don't like it, I don't give a fuck, right? And everybody laughs, right? And it's the truth. So anyway, it was just an awesome day yesterday. And I had one woman come up to me, and she had tears in her eyes. And she sticks her hand out, and she said, "That was fucking awesome." And I said, "Thank you." The highest compliment I get, right? And she looked at me, she said, "I wasn't prepared for this." I looked at her and I said, "Really?" And she said, "No. I was prepared for something, you know, way more vanilla, oriented towards military, blah, blah, blah. This, never seen anything like this. And you blew me away, you know, blew me away. It included everybody in this room. It included everybody in this room, and thank you. You know, and so then we talked. And just an awesome, awesome, awesome day. And again, one of the funny parts is I have a picture of me in 1984 in the northern training area of Okinawa with, you know, the reason I'm here is because one of my Marines opened the door, Nick Ratiff, who's a captain here. And he was one of my Lance Corporals. There's a picture of him and I with the rest of our platoon in northern training area of Okinawa. And we're standing, you know, we're standing right next to each other. In fact, I have my elbow on his shoulder, and I'm kind of leaning with my head cocked, looking like I'm a badass. and so faking it for the picture. And so I put that picture up, and they laugh, right? I said, "Here he is, right? This is the reason I'm here." You know, and then after that, I said, "Let me tell you, here's the other reason I'm here." And a picture of General Furness goes up and the emblem of the 2nd Marine Division. I said, "The Marines and Sailors of the 2nd Marine Division have put up a data point that gets people's attention." And then I talk about the data that's come out of the 2nd Division over the course of the last year. I said, "So this stuff comes with data, right? And this is that's why I'm here today." So, no, it's just an awesome experience. And again, I mean, we all know, what, 2 years ago, October 1st, the mass shooting that was here. And, you know, I mean, the stories that I hear, you know, the guy who introduces it is a guy named Aaron Rupp. And he was one of the first guys on the scene. He was just working, you know, that afternoon, evening. And all of a sudden they start getting calls and they start popping up on their display. And they head in that direction. It's like, wow. And then, you know, the you know, things that you don't hear. Like, you know, you expect to hear, you know, how crazy it was at the concert itself. But he tells a story about when he pulled into the hospital here in, I guess, that's closest to downtown Las Vegas. He said, you know, we all know that they do miracles there. We've all seen it. You know, we drop off people that we don't think that will make it, and they do, and they do it. He said, you know, when this happened, one of the doctors, when we were dropping, you know, several, you know, patients there in our first run, doctor comes out and grabs me and says, "I need all your dressings, I need all your tourniquets, I need, you know," and he said, "Think about that. You know," he said, "this place is kind of the rock of Gibraltar." And as I'm as I go into the ambulance and I grab all the stuff, as I give it to them, I see them wheeling beds out of the entrance to the emergency room. And they're just stacking beds outside because they don't have enough room. Right? It's their mass casualty drill. Right? As the ER room goes outside to be able to treat all the patients. And he said, you know, you're just, you know, you're momentarily stunned because you're seeing things that you've never thought you'd see. So I mean, they deal with that. But again, they deal with stuff on just a regular basis, whether it be children dying or whatnot. And this kind of stuff is post-traumatic winning is so important because, you know, hopefully you can change the way they look at, you know, I provide a really critical service for my community. And it comes with a lot of bad memories. But I take those memories and I touch the lives of people that have been damaged, right, by trauma. And I help them to go down this other path. And so in that way, I give my suffering meaning, as Viktor Frankl talks about, and I elevate my own life. I transform my own life. And so to get them to see that, to have guys yesterday come up afterwards and talk to me and like say, holy shit, I never thought I would look at the things that I've been through and say, you know what, I can find meaning in that. And he just stuck his hand out. He said, I just want to say thank you. So this is awesome. So anyway, post-traumatic winning, you know, I don't want to say taking flight, but, you know, the Air Force is obviously interested, right? And now the first responder community sees it, and they're like, whoa, this is good. And so so cool stuff happening in Las Vegas. Let me tell you what's going to happen on the show today. Mark Cancion, he retired Marine colonel and a guy at the Center for Strategic and International Studies, CSIS, he's going to join us. And Mark, you know, he's a prolific writer in the Marine Corps for many, many years. And used to see him published in the Gazette all the time. He wrote a piece that appeared in War on the Rocks called something like Not So Fast, Marine Corps, or something like that. And the subject is the transformation that will occur under General Berger. And so you're going to hear from him today. So I shot him an email last week and said, hey, Mark, can we talk about your article? He said, absolutely. So we're going to talk about that. Like, so the whole pivot to the Pacific and all of that. And, you know, his point is, and many other people make the same point, is that the Marine Corps' great utility to the nation is the fact that it's a Swiss Army knife. It goes at every climb and place, right, where we can take a gun. And so to tailor ourselves, right, to do things like give up tubed artillery, to do things like, you know, give up all your tanks, is that in the best interest of the Marine Corps as a Swiss Army knife, or do we come so nuanced that now we're not included in other fights that, you know, heretofore we have been? So you're going to hear Mark Cancion's thoughts on all of that here on a Tuesday edition of All Marine Radio, and then Grant Newsham will join us tomorrow. So good morning to you. The United States Marine Corps Band makes this morning official. Good morning. Now, I don't even know the woman's name, but this dedicated to a firefighter came up to me yesterday, stuck her hand out, and said this was fucking awesome. So whoever you are, thank you.
Betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me. I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fighting. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
time for us to check the weather. All weather, all the time here on All Marine Radio. Exactly. I can tell you this, it's cold in Las Vegas. Currently, warming up on the East Coast, though, so good for them. It is cloudy and 52 in Quantico. It is mostly cloudy and 63 at Camp Lejeune, so they're warming up. 29 Palms. Now, mind you, this is about an hour now before I normally give you these temperatures. It is sunny and 33 in 29 Palms. That's cold for the year, right? Sunny and 33. Pendleton, sunny and 45. Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark, cloudy, and 68 degrees. In Okinawa, dark, cloudy, and 63. In Afghanistan, in Lashkar Gah, it is clear, dark, and 47. And in the Al Anbar province of Iraq, in the provincial capital, the city of Ramadi, it is dark, cloudy, and 57. So Iraq is actually warmed up. At the corporate headquarters of All Marine Radio, it is sunny and 49. Looking for a high of 64, though, so that's good. So hopefully the overnight lows are going to stay in the 40s. That is no bueno, man. Right here in beautiful Las Vegas, it is clear and 36 degrees. Looking for a high of 50. Are you kidding me? Come on, man. Come on, man. This is not the way this is supposed to be. Yeah, as I said, get your fucking good coat out, man. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll check news headlines here on a Tuesday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends, these are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, Visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
I'm good, but I have a story and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255. And press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Continue. Peyton Davis. Top of the Fold headline. You know, we talked about the story months ago. There's a story about a base in Uzbekistan where I believe mostly Air Force people that served there reported a black goo. Right? Former Soviet shit, right? Hello. oozing out of the ground. Headline reads this in Stars and Stripes. Toxic black goo base used by the United States had enriched uranium. More veterans report cancer. For the past 6 weeks, a private Facebook group set up to help veterans who served at a toxic base in Uzbekistan has been flooded with new members, many with hauntingly familiar stories. I served at K2. I have cancer. Not exactly the story you want to. Quote, it was overwhelming, said retired Army Chief Warrant Officer Scott Welsh, a Special Operations Military Intelligence Officer who deployed to K2 or Karshi Khanabad, Uzbekistan, in October of 2001. McClatchy exclusively, the McClatchy newspaper service, exclusively reported in December that the Pentagon had known from the beginning that K2, a former Soviet and Uzbek base, was contaminated with radioactive processed uranium, chemical weapons remnants, and underground pools of fuel and solvents that broke through the soil in a black goo. Despite the contamination, about 7,000 U.S. forces were deployed there. After the 9/11 attacks from October 2001 to 2005 until Uzbekistan withdrew permission for the United States to use the base. After the K2 story became public, the veterans of K2 Facebook site was flooded with new requests to join. Each new member was vetted for their military service. Once accepted, more names of ill veterans began to surface. As the news stories came in, Welsh volunteered to track the reported illnesses, but he had to step away. Quote, "I was in bad shape from reporting all these medical issues," said Welsh, who was diagnosed with thyroid cancer in 2014. By the end of January, the group had recorded 310 cancers. The last government count done by the Army in 2015 was that 61 service members who had been at K2 were diagnosed with cancer. The study was prompted by a number of U.S. Army Special Operations Command forces at K2 who had developed various types of cancer. Despite the Army Special Operations Command requesting the review, Special Operations Forces personnel could not be identified because of the classified nature of their missions, so those illnesses were not included in the 2015 count, the Army said at the time. The self-reported 310 cancers of the K2 veterans group, if accurate, means the number of cancer-stricken K2 veterans is now five times greater than the Army initially reported. Some of those K2 veterans will be in Washington this week looking for help from Congress. Quote, "I've been wondering all these years, how many more, said Kim Brooks, widow of Army Lieutenant Colonel Timothy Brooks. Timothy Brooks was one of the first to deploy to K2 and one of the first K2 veterans to die of cancer. The first signs came in 2012. That spring, Timothy Brooks and his wife were standing at their Fort Drum, New York kitchen, and he was agitated," she recalled in a phone interview with McClatchy. Timothy Brooks had just left a meeting on the base where he and other soldiers from the 10th Mountain Division had been handed a form to sign. The unit had just returned home from K2. "They told us we were exposed to some really bad stuff," Brooks recalled her husband saying. Over the next few months, her husband's health deteriorated. He began to suffer terrible headaches, and his temper changed. The 6'5" athlete was constantly exhausted, but the family still prepared for him to deploy to Iraq with other elements of the 10th Mountain Division in the spring of 2003. Who made that decision? You know, who made that decision? I think you need to find that person who said, fuck it, send them. And that person needs to go to jail. Who did that? Secretary of the Army, Army Chief of Staff, Chairman, Secretary of Defense, Donnie Rumsfeld, that piece of shit. Right? You know that stuff is there and you put people there. Unbelievable. Next headline, U.S. adds low-yield nuclear weapons to its submarine arsenal. Whoa, low-yield, right. Here's an interesting headline. Isolating people may not prevent coronavirus spread, infectious disease expert says. What? Like, why not? Isn't that how you do it? Tokyo. Isolating those who have recently traveled to China might not be enough to stop the spread of the deadly new virus, according to a Japanese infectious disease expert. Hokkaido University professor Hiroshi Nishimura, who leads a team of researchers studying the path of the novel coronavirus, said Tuesday it appears that infected people are contagious before they show symptoms. Isolating those who may have been exposed might not prevent the illness because others without symptoms can pass it on. Awesome. So keep your fingers crossed that somebody figures this shit out. Or we'll quarantine China. The Army has hiked bonuses for the first time in a decade to stem the loss of pilots. In Hawaii, Marine officials have declared a popular Iwakuni barbecue restaurant off limits after an owner's drug arrest. Interesting. A story that was in the news yesterday when we didn't really we didn't really do the news yesterday, right? We had Alex Hetherington on talking about Marine Corps Expo West coming up this week at Camp Pendleton. So there's a couple interesting stories. The number two dude at the VA got fired. Report cites frustration over the agency's handling of sex assault investigation. James Byme, B-Y-M-E, the Deputy Secretary of the Department of Veterans Affairs, was fired Monday after holding the post for less than 5 months. VA Secretary Robert Wilkie said he terminated Byrne due to a loss of confidence in him. Today I dismissed Deputy VA Secretary James Byrne due to a loss of confidence. This decision is effective immediately. Byrne, a former Marine infantry officer, nice, I should know him, was first sworn in on September 16th as deputy secretary and previously served as the department's general counsel, leading the VA's legal team for about 2 years. He was not confirmed as deputy secretary by the Senate. Oh, he was, by a vote of 81 to 11. The VA has not yet named a candidate to replace him. The news outlet Axios, citing three unnamed sources, reported that Byrne's ousting was due to frustration from the White House on how the VA handled an investigation into a claim by Andrea Goldstein, a House staff member who said she was sexually assaulted at the VA hospital in Washington, D.C. Goldstein is a member of the Navy Reserve. Quote, that is not true. James Byrne's dismissal has nothing to do with that, VA spokeswoman Christina Mandriucci wrote in an email. The White House declined comment. So, anyway, so figure it out. How do you know it has something to do with it when they say that is absolutely untrue? The retraction will come in about 48 hours. I'm not sure, but normally that's the way it happens. The Air Force commander in Japan tightens curfews after an uptick in DUIs and other alcohol-related incidents. Tokyo. The Air Force tightened curfew for service members at Misawa Air Base in northeast Japan after several alcohol-related incidents, including drunken driving over the past 2 months, according to an order issued by the commander of the 35th Fighter Wing. Quote, in the last 60 days, there's been 5 cases of driving under the influence of alcohol and 8 alcohol-related incidents involving personnel assigned to Misawa. Well done, right? Life has consequences. It works better like that. Big news story of the day is, this isn't Stars and Stripes, but you've seen it. In an embarrassing twist, Democrats have no caucus results. Like, what? This was going to be big stuff last night. And I know that, and I was working all day. Democratic Party officials in Iowa worked furiously Tuesday to deliver the delayed results of their first-in-the-nation caucus as frustrated presidential candidates claimed momentum and plowed ahead in their quest for the White House. Technology problem and reporting, quote, inconsistencies, what does that mean, kept the Iowa Democratic Party officials from releasing results of Monday's caucus, the much-hyped kickoff for the 2020 primary. It was an embarrassing twist after months of promoting the contest as a chance for Democrats to find some clarity. Oh, that's awesome. Instead, caucus day ended with no winner, no official results, and many fresh questions about whether Iowa can retain its coveted first status. Nice. What the hell, man? You got one thing to do, and you screw that up. Are you kidding me? Answer, no, I'm not kidding you. Yes, we did screw it up. So anyway, I don't really know what's going on. I don't know. Hold on. Let me update the news and see if there's if there's a clear winner yet. Stand by. Looking at my national news feed. Because that's how we do it. on the Drudge Feed. The Drudge Report. And these are the headlines. It shows the headline of the New York Post, which is always can be hilarious, right? And it says Des Moines, right? But it spells Des Moines, D-U-H-M-O-I-N-E-S. Making fun of those people in Iowa, they're not going to appreciate it, right? Yeah. Hillbillies do not like being called hillbillies. And trust me, I know. I've called people in North Dakota hillbillies, and they get pissed. They can make fun of California, but when you start saying that, yeah, you know those characters in the movie Fargo? Oh, they get rip shit about that. Don't you know? Oh. And you know what? There's a lot more of that up there than they want to admit to. Anyway, these are just some headlines. Iowa blows it. Dems doomed? ? Quality control of votes. Election fiasco. Pete victorious. App failures. Right? And so, as of the second, there is no, right, results. Here's more headlines. Hot mess in 2020. Caucus conspiracy against Sanders? Bernie internals show him winning. Tech firm started by Clinton campaign vets linked to this debacle. DHS head claims Dems refused to let the department test the app. Frustration questions. Next headline. System-wide disaster. Next headline. Delegates decided by a coin flip. Next headline. Party hangs up on precinct captain on live TV. Next headline. Entrance poll shows dip in first timers. Next headline. Muddle adds new urgency to New Hampshire as candidates flock there. No resolution. Now, you know if you don't win in Des Moines, you know what everybody's going to say, right? Yeah, you can't just throw those results out. All the money that was spent there, all the time and effort, doesn't mean anything. Because the votes got tampered with. The fix is in. That's right. The fix is in. That's awesome. Secnav Modley. Path to 355 ships will rely on new classes of warship. Next headline. Well, and I want to take a look at that real quick. And then, because I find that interesting. Navy trying to get to 355. What are we going to count? Like tugboats and shit? Next headline. USS Fitzgerald returns to sea after repairs caused by the fatal 2017 collision. After more than 2 years of repairs, the guided missile destroyer USS Fitzgerald left the Mississippi coast for sea trials in the Gulf of Mexico, Navy officials announced on Monday. So completing their repair process, and then they'll have to get the full crew on there, and they'll go do sea trials, and then they'll be scheduled to return to the fleet. The Navy plans to get to 355 ships manned by 2030, will rely on new classes of ships that don't exist yet, including new kinds of amphibious ships and supply ships, as well as lightly manned ships, like said the acting Secretary of the Navy. The force structure assessment will lay out the Navy's path to this larger fleet, which leadership has described as 355 plus unmanned. Ooh, that's how we're going to get there. We're going to count the drones. Yes. Talk of a new class of amphibious warship began last summer when Commandant of the Marine Corps David Berger called for alternative kinds of amphibious lift for Marines in his Commandant's planning guidance. Since that time, Marine Corps and Navy officials at various conferences have suggested that the services are narrowing in on the offshore support vessel as a model for what they want. Having several OSVs instead of one dock landing ship, for example, might be able to carry the same number of Marines but distribute them across the littorals instead of concentrating them at one point. which defensively makes them a harder target and offensively allows them to be more agile under the distributed maritime operations and expeditionary advanced naval base concept. But couldn't you do that with the other ship? Okay. Hey, sounds like a great idea to me. All right. Top headlines, Marine Corps Times today. War with robots, an inside look at how Marines and robots will fight side by side. Commander of the ill-fated Fitzgerald among veterans with PTSD, helped by innovative writing and arts program. That's wonderful. More evacuees from China are expected to arrive at the United States and at the March Reserve Air Base, I think is where we're doing that, here in over in California. Top five stories in early bird, and then I'm done for the morning. Well, I'm not done for the morning, but I'm headed over to do post-traumatic winning, baby. That's right. Yeah. And then today, my Lance Corporal is going to be there. Lance Corporal Nick Ratiff. Now he's a big shot here in Las Vegas. So there's nothing better than making fun of big shots, right? And everybody else loves it, too. So he's going to get wire brushed today. That's right. Top five stories in early bird. Number one, VA deputy secretary fired after a loss of confidence. Two, troops treated for TBI after Iran missile strike may be getting purple hearts. Whoa, who told you that? Who the fuck told you that? Yeah, again, I told you, like, hey, look, of the 60, 40 went back to full duty. Okay? They're not stupid. I got a headache, right? I got to go to sick bay. Doc. Three, more evacuees from China expected to arrive for quarantine at U.S. bases. Number five, destroyer wrecked in deadly 2017 accident returns to sea. We've talked about that. Number five, war with robots, an inside look at how the Marine Corps will fight. Must be a slow news day, all right? That's all I got to say. Overseas operation headlines. Number one, Afghan casualties and attrition are outpacing recruitment and retention. It's not a good thing. And we're talking about Afghan type. Okay? Talk about Afghan type. Two, U.S. forces Korea imposes mandatory 14-day quarantine for U.S. troops returning from China. What? U.S. troops headed to South Korea after visiting China must undergo a 14-day quarantine to avoid the spread of the coronavirus that originated in the Wuhan, China. Excuse me. I guess that would be a port call in one of the Chinese ports. I guess. Afghan security forces averaged one insider attack every 4 days in the closing months of 2019, according to new data. We didn't read about many of those. And again, the ones we read about are when they involve Americans. The ones we don't read about are when they involve Afghans. And the fourth headline in terms of overseas operations is Ukraine. Recording show Iran new jetliner was hit by a missile. Well, no kidding, man. They just lied about it. Yeah, that'll get to the Iranian people. That'll make them happy. They're pretty pissed at their government, all right? They're pretty pissed at their government. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Mark Kansian is going to join us here on a Tuesday edition of All Marine Radio. So whatever you do, don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.